What if you could read the enemy's playbook? C.S. Lewis's The Screwtape Letters hands you exactly that, a series of correspondence between Screwtape, a senior demon in Hell's bureaucracy, and his bumbling nephew Wormwood, tasked with corrupting a newly converted Christian. Written during World War II's darkest hours, this satirical masterpiece flips spiritual warfare on its head by letting us eavesdrop on the opposition. The result? A chilling, often darkly funny exposé of how easily our souls can be hijacked, not through grand temptations, but through the banal distractions of everyday life. Screwtape's opening advice is brutally simple. Never argue. Modern humans don't truly believe things anymore. They juggle fashionable ideas like accessories, judging them as contemporary or outdated rather than true or false. Why waste energy on philosophical debate when you can wrap materialism in attractive language, call it scientific or progressive, and watch people adopt it without scrutiny? The real genius lies in what Screwtape calls fuddling, keeping humans perpetually distracted by the immediate. When one of Screwtape's previous targets stumbled into the British Museum and began reading dangerous spiritual material, the demon didn't panic. He simply whispered, "Isn't it time for lunch?" The sight of buses and newsboys dissolved any budding spiritual awakening faster than any counterargument could. How often do deep questions about meaning get drowned out by notifications, deadlines, and the endless scroll? The demons don't need to destroy your faith. They just need to keep you too busy to notice its withering. Our modern world, with its cult of productivity and entertainment, has become hell's most effective tool. When Wormwood's patient converts, Screwtape pivots strategically. The church exists in two forms: the eternal, mystical body that terrifies demons, and the visible reality of squeaky shoes and off-key hymns. Demons amplify every human imperfection: the grocer's oily expression, incomprehensible liturgy, shabby hymnals. Keep everything hazy. Never let him examine whether his romanticized expectations match reality. This cuts deep because it's recognizable. How many spiritual journeys stall because the church isn't Instagram-worthy? We expect transcendence and encounter flawed humanity. Demons know that if we can't find God amid imperfection, we'll never find him at all. Screwtape's instructions on prayer reveal how easily authentic communication corrupts. For new converts, reject childish structured prayers for vague devotional moods, composing your spirit to love without actually doing anything concrete. It sounds sophisticated, but is spiritually empty. The subtlest corruption redirects prayer from God to self, manufacturing feelings rather than communicating honestly. When you pray for charity, do you genuinely seek to love others or try to feel charitable? The deepest danger is the composite object, praying to mental constructs about God rather than to God himself. We create images from scripture and theology, then direct prayers at these creations. It's sophisticated idolatry, and we rarely notice. Screwtape identifies undulation, the natural rhythm of peaks and troughs in human experience. We're amphibians, half spirit and half animal, oscillating between spiritual highs and emotional lows. The infuriating twist? God uses the troughs more than the peaks. While demons rely on continuous emotional manipulation, God withdraws the initial sweetness of faith, forcing us to develop spiritual muscles through raw will. He wants servants who become sons, not puppets performing when pulled by pleasurable strings. Our cause is never more endangered, Screwtape warns, than when a human, no longer desiring but still intending to do God's will, looks upon an apparently God-forsaken universe and still obeys. That moment, when feeling fails but choice remains, represents the pinnacle of spiritual maturity. This reframes spiritual struggle entirely. Dry periods aren't failures but growth opportunities. Moments feeling like abandonment may actually be God's vote of confidence in your developing maturity. By persevering when faith feels like walking through fog, you're becoming someone who loves, not for the feeling, but for the relationship itself. When Wormwood's patient falls in love with a Christian woman, Screwtape strategizes rather than panic. Hell exploits our cultural obsession with being in love as the only respectable ground for marriage. This closes off monogamy as an escape for those struggling with abstinence while justifying any sexual infatuation as love, regardless of consequences. Hell's philosophy: one self is not another self. Competition is existence's essence. God contradicts this through love, making things both many and one, associating affection with sexual desire to create the family. Demons corrupt this by making humans mistake the temporary emotion of being in love for marriage's foundation. For arrogant men, they encourage deciding against love, then reintroducing sexuality brutally separated from humanity. For emotional men, they feed romantic notions until he believes love is irresistible and intrinsically meritorious, perfect for tragic adulteries or spiritually destructive marriages. Our cultural narratives serve these purposes perfectly. We elevate passion over commitment, expect permanent emotional highs, and confuse infatuation with love. By understanding these strategies, we can build relationships on firmer ground, on choice, commitment, and the daily decision to love even when we don't feel like it. Screwtape reveals another strategy: fostering the illusion that humans truly possess anything. Nothing enrages someone faster than having their time unexpectedly taken, an unplanned call, traffic delay, a child's illness. We fiercely guard my time, though we neither make nor retain a single moment. Screwtape reveals that God wants humans focused on eternity and the present moment, that razor's edge where temporal existence touches the eternal. In the present alone, we experience reality as it actually is. Demons specialize in the future, that realm of endless anxiety and hypothetical disasters. Unlike eternity, which exists in perfect completion, the future remains perpetually out of reach, making it ideal for torment. Nearly all vices look ahead. Greed anticipates possessions, ambition dreams of status, anxiety fears calamities. Gratitude looks to the past and love to the present, but demons want us perpetually chasing what's next. The sense of ownership creates layers of delusion. Modern resistance to chastity stems from believing we own our bodies, vast estates from which we'll be ejected at another's pleasure. Demons teach humans not to notice the different meanings of my, from my boots, temporary possession, to my God, object of worship. The joke is that humans cannot truly say mine about anything. When we believe we own our time, bodies, and possessions absolutely, every limitation feels like theft rather than reality. Recognizing everything as gift rather than possession develops gratitude instead of resentment, moving us from the anxiety of ownership to the freedom of stewardship. The letters culminate in Wormwood's catastrophic failure. His patient dies during an air raid and escapes to heaven. Screwtape's final letter reveals the demonic perspective with terrifying clarity. At death, the patient's eyes suddenly cleared. He saw Wormwood truly, recognized his influence, and knew the demon had it no longer. Like a scab falling from an old sore, he emerged from his hideous shell bombs, falling houses, and pain vanished like a bad dream. What devastates Screwtape most is witnessing the patient's encounter with angels and God himself. The demon reeled back dizzy, more hurt by them than the patient ever was by bombs. The patient recognized these beings instantly, understanding what part each had played in his life when he thought himself alone. He saw not only them, he saw him, Screwtape laments. This scene reveals the ultimate failure of demonic strategy, the triumph of disinterested love over self-interest. While demons understand and exploit selfishness, they remain baffled by genuine love.